good and how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity.
Amen.
It is something precious, more precious than the oil that ran down Abram's beard, even to the skirts of his garment. Amen. Amen. Turn, if you will, to the book of 1 John. 1 John, the book of 1 John, chapter 1. 1 John, chapter 1. You will find it near the end of the Bible, right after 2 Peter, right before Jude, and 3 John, and 2 John. I just want to put you in the vicinity so that you can get there a little faster. Amen. I want to say what a wonderful worship experience this has been.
Amen.
This morning. Amen.
Amen.
The choir singing and all of the prayers and the praise.
Yes, sir.
And the joy that I've seen in your faces.
Amen.
Helps us to know that the presence of the Lord is here. Amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, reads, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we assemble here say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we that are here lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all our sins." Let us pray. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by thy power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Father, we need you. Every hour we need you. Bless us now, Lord. Use us for your glory, to proclaim with boldness your word of truth, that, Lord, we might all be illumined by your light. Let the words, Lord, of my heart and the meditations of my heart, the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just for a few moments, I want to use as a subject a preface to spiritual maturity. A preface to spiritual maturity. Any book that you've ever read has, or most of them have, a preface. They give you an overview, an idea of what the book is about. Almost everything we do in life has a preface. Amen. Our infancy was a preface to our stage of toddler. The toddler stage was a preface to our becoming, amen, adolescents. Our adolescence was a preface to us becoming adults. There is a progression, there is a growth, there is a maturity level that we reach Amen. As we are marching forward. A preface to spiritual maturity is a thesis, a theme, if you will, that is presented here in this lesson for us that are believers to walk in the light as he whom we're walking after and with is in the light. Throughout the Gospel of John and as well as these epistles, there is an appeal to us to grow and to walk in the light. Now, it is important for me to preface all of this with an experience I had on a field trip with my 10-year-old. We went to Linville Falls and to the Linville Caverns just in the mountains, just at the foot of the mountains of North Carolina. And on the tour of the caverns, it was interesting to find out that in the early days when the cavern was being dug and made usable for people to enter in, the workers had to use lanterns. The interesting thing is, if the lantern was to run out of oil or they were to drop the lantern, they would be in serious trouble. Because without the lantern, they could not see anything. And the story was told that there were a number of those who walked the caverns when they finally found their way out, was blind. They had been in the caverns for a long period of time without light. And it has been proven that if you are in total darkness at least 30 days, when you get to light, you will never be able to see again. So I'm urging you to walk in the light. Amen. This particular passage of scripture, the epistle writer, who is said to also be the writer of the gospel, challenges the children, he calls them his children, to walk in that which they have heard of. We are challenged to walk, amen, in the light. Now, I want to talk a little bit, and I want you to follow me in scripture as we talk about this writing. This writing has a dualistic approach to speaking to you and I. And the dualistic approach, or what it deals with, is what we deal with in the context of our human living. We are always challenged with good versus evil. The writer here tries to manifest that by talking about it in terms of light and darkness. All right, good versus evil, and the opposite way as well. So we're challenged to walk in the light. In the Gospel of John, in the third chapter, just after Jesus has had a dialogue with Nicodemus about being born again. You understand being born again means that you are walking in the light. You're moving towards spiritual maturity. And I have a grave concern today that for too long, we have just been around the light, but have not come fully into the light. Well, what do you mean by us walking around the light and not in the light? Because there still exists too much division, not enough closeness, amen, to us. There's too much darkness that still exists in the world, amen, for as many churches as they are that are open. There's too much darkness in the world. So that indicates to me that we are walking around the light and not in the light. Now, if we were to turn out all the lights in this room, just imagine if it was dark on the outside.
and we had some black curtains over the window. No lights. What could you see with all the lights out? Absolutely nothing. Yet, if one of my brothers or sisters who smokes were to take their cigarette lighter and flick it, amen, darkness would go away. Amen. The Gospel of John tells us in the first chapter that Jesus, who is the light, came into his own, and his own received him not. It says further that light has come into the world, and darkness could not overcome it. In other words, anytime you're in a dark room, once you turn on the light,
yes, Lord,
darkness goes away. Light and darkness has no fellowship with each other. Therefore, if we're walking in the light, we can't walk in the light and still participate in darkness. I'm thinking better than you say amen. Light and darkness, scientifically, if the room was dark and you turned on the light, darkness would go away. So if we're walking in the light, darkness and any behavior of darkness has to go away. All right. Now, why is darkness so popular? Well, if you've ever walked into your kitchen at night and some of those critters are around, as soon as you turn on the light, they start running.
That's right.
Looking for
darkness. That's right. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. If you are walking in light and you encounter somebody who's in darkness, they don't want to have a conversation with you. Amen. I'll tell you how you find out those who are walking in darkness. Start the conversation about the Lord, and you will soon find that they will walk away. If you engage or allow them to talk or spread gossip, they'll hang around all day long. It's tight, but it's right. I'm only suggesting that I'm giving a preface here to growing into spiritual maturity. You understand, sin loves darkness. Because sin has the idea or the concept that their deeds, which are evil, will be hid in darkness. That's why folk creep at night. So that they will not be seen. Luther Vandross says, creep, creep. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. This is some heavy material. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. What is our fellowship like with one another? Big question. I'm exposing this. That's what light does. It exposes darkness, but it also illuminates.
Amen.
Give you another natural illustration. If you have your storage room,
my Lord,
with no light bulb in it, well, you might have stuff organized, but you can't see where stuff is. And as you're walking around in that room, you're stumbling and tripping over stuff, possibly bruising or injuring yourself, because of stuff all over the place. Mm-hmm. And Lord knows if you've let your pet loose in there,
my Lord,
you will be stepping in all sorts of stuff. Are you getting this? If you are not walking in the light, we're stumbling around in a spiritual way. Amen. Light also has to deal with knowledge. This is really the point I wanted to get to, because we're at the point of students going back to school. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And this is an opportunity for you to get out of some of the darkness, some of the dark myths that you've heard that are not true. Light or the education centers provide light out of darkness that you've heard or thought about. Amen.
Amen.
The unknown, the unheard of, the yet unresearched. You may have the opportunity, or you may be the person who sheds light in that darkness. As a matter of fact, the purpose of you being given the opportunity to go to school is to help put light in the lives of others.
Right.
Not just your own,
right,
but in the lives of others. I was always taught growing up that my purpose for going to school was the fact that my parents did not have the opportunity to go to school. So for them, it was very important for me to go to school so that I would repeat some of the same situations that they were in. Their situation was dismal because they didn't have opportunity. But that was not the case for me. So it is even in the church. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no need for us to have the same issues in our lives as believers. Going through the same cycles over and over and over again if we are walking in the light. Some of us have been in the church all our lives, and we are still grumbling and complaining about the stuff we were grumbling and complaining about when we first got to the church. The suggestion is that we are walking around the light and not in the light. So, as we introduce this preface this morning, I want to shed some light. Amen. To help you get out of some of the darkness that you've been experiencing. First of all, understand what darkness is. It's where sin lives in the spiritual life. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, as I mentioned earlier. Go there with me. That's the one after Luke. Go to the New Testament. The first book of the New Testament is Matthew. And thumb over through Mark and Luke, and you'll find John. I don't take anything for granted. Amen. Amen. And this is the place where we grow in light. Amen. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 19, says this. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because what? Their deeds were evil.
For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light.
Remember those critters I was talking about when you turn the lights on? They're gone.
Neither cometh through the light. They don't come to the light either, do they?
Because
they're up to no good. They don't bring anything good. Amen. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh through the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or exposed.
That's why folk who do evil do it at night, and they don't want to come to the light because they'll be exposed. When we don't want to work and operate in truth, we'll stay away from where the truth reigns.
Amen.
Amen. If we don't want the truth told, we'll get angry. Or we'll put up all sorts of fights to keep our deeds from being exposed.
Amen. However, he that doeth the truth,
he that does what is right, cometh to the light.
Why does he come to the light? So that his deeds may be made manifest. He wants his deeds to be known, and that his deeds are bathed and soaked in the love and in the spirit of truth and of God. Amen. It's time for us to grow up. It's time to take the bottle out of your mouth. It's time to eat some meat. Amen. Because there's too much darkness in the world where light should be shining. Ye are the light of the world, Jesus said. You're the light. I'm the light.
So wherever we go, we ought to let our little light shine.
Amen. Amen. Let your light shine in dark places.
Amen.
Now somebody says, I want to let my light shine in dark places.
You need to go where some darkness is sometime and let your light shine.
As a matter of fact, it's a good way to prove if you got any light in you.
Afraid to go to the crack house and tell somebody, you don't have to depend on this to get high.
Amen.
If your deeds are right, you got to worry about what folks say.
Amen.
You got light, and you afraid to let it shine.
Preach, Pastor. Preach.
Preach.
That's right.
Going back to the dark room. It's dark. Can you imagine this room being dark? No lights on. And all we have is a box of birthday cake candles. But somehow in that corner over there, Ebony gets a light to light her candle.
Darkness begins to disappear.
That's right.
Yeah. Now that's only a small light. But you can see over there. You may not be able to recognize Ebony, you know, because it could not be Ebony in that corner. It could be Miss Shirley, because she's back there as well. But they got a light. But that light leaves from Ebony and Shirley and get over in this corner where Brother Al is.
Where?
Can't you see light coming?
Come on.
But now Al brings his light up here and gives it to Gladys.
Come on.
Gladys somehow gets the light over to Mitch.
Come on.
Oh, it's getting a little brighter now.
Come on.
And then somehow those four persons come together.
get a little closer together, and then start sharing their life with their neighbor.
That's right.
And before you know it, the room is full of life.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And now you begin to recognize one another.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, you couldn't even see your hand in the front of your face.
That's right.
Well, if we let our light shine among each other, we provide light for this dark world.
Amen.
Ignorance will disappear.
Yes.
Strife and anger will go away.
Yes.
We'll be able to begin to solve some problems like world hunger and homelessness.
Yes.
If we stop being so greedy, we might be able to reverse this economic recession. If the rich, amen, which only represent 10% of the world population, begin to share what they have with the 90% who's struggling and killing and fighting each other for that little 10% of wealth that's left. Because 10% control 90% of the wealth.
That's right.
And the world. And you're left with 90% of the rest of the world struggling for 10% of the wealth. And you have probably about 10% who decide, I'm just going to check out. I don't want to deal with the struggle of all of us fighting for 10%.
Yeah.
And what ends up happening is that group that cop out or says, I don't want to deal with the rat race, they end up in homelessness or addiction. But if you walk in the light as he's in the light, you understand Jesus came to turn lights on and uproot darkness. And you represent, my beloved brothers and sisters, light, the light that God came and shed in your heart, that he put in your heart. Don't be selfish. Don't keep your light to yourself. Because what happens when your light go out? Who's going to light it back up? Is your light burning? Is your light burning today? Or are you still in darkness? If you're in darkness, Jesus says in Matthew 6, the eye, only symbolically, the eye is your mind, your heart, your soul, and your spirit. If your eye be strong, your whole body is full of light. So there's nothing of darkness that can destroy you, my Lord. We are destroyed, the Bible tells us in the book of Hosea. We are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Light is knowledge. Light illumes. If there were no windows in this room, this building would be dark even with lights on. That's why Jesus says, bring your tithes and offerings that they might be meet in my house and prove me if I will not open the windows of heaven. Now what does that mean? Well, your tithes and your offerings is your lights as well. Maybe not your money, but the knowledge that you have that can help liberate somebody.
Amen.
Amen. There's windows in this room sitting next to you that can bring you out of some dark situations you find yourself in. I heard at the Sunday school lesson said you got to tear down some walls. I knew you've been hurt, and there's no hurt like a church hurt. There's no hurt like being hurt by the person you have a lot of hope and expectation. But I got to tell you today, if you build up walls, you keep any source of help out.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. So true.
That's right.
You build up walls so high, no light can get in. Not even sunlight.
Come on,
amen.
When you build up walls, you isolate yourself. And when you isolate yourself, you're like a wounded sheep among a pack of wolves.
That's right.
And understand, wolves don't travel alone. They travel in packs.
Amen.
Amen.
It's time for us to grow up into spiritual maturity. Amen. We can't let the Bible suckers cause our life to be dim. Your eye is the light. Is your eye or your heart is the candle of the Lord, Proverbs says. And sometimes a candle wick needs to be trimmed. Amen. Now, how do you trim your candle wick? You get rid of some of that old stuff. That's been standing in your way of growth. I'll be the first to tell you some of that stuff that's happening does hurt.
Yes.
But if there's light in you, if you walk in the light, not around the light, you can go up to the person that hurt you.
Amen.
And say, I forgive you.
Amen.
You don't just say, I forgive you. You mean that you
are. Right.
You got light in you.
That's right.
Amen. Well, the light of God is, amen, there's true love. And see, love keeps no record of wrong.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Right again.
Love is patient. Mm. It's kind. Mm. It's long-suffering.
Yeah.
It's not arrogant or puffed up. Mm. That's what light does. Mm. Will you walk in the light today?
Jesus.
Will you let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works? Because after all, you're the light of the world. Jesus says you're the light of the world. A city that sits on a hill with light cannot be hid. No one who has light or a candle put it under a bushel basket, but they set it on a lampstand that it might give light to the whole house. As you go back to school, young people, trim your wit by getting some new information. You're not going there to show how bad you are, how rude you can be, but you're there to trim your wit so that your light can shine brighter. College students, you're there to even go to new horizons,
yes,
to find cures for cancer,
yes,
to find better ways of using energy that does not cause harm to our environment. You're there to find ways to eliminate poverty, disease, ignorance. Those are the three greatest skills of any people. Ignorance, poverty, and disease. So you're there. You've been given an opportunity, a privilege, to make a difference. Let your light shine. Let your light shine before men, because you're the light of the world. And you're also the salt of the earth. Salt that has no saltiness is good for nothing.
My Lord.
But salt deserves. Amen. Salt seasons.
That's right.
So if you're salt, you provide preservation and spice to life.
That's right.
You don't destroy life. But you preserve it. And if you're light, you dispel darkness. You eliminate ignorance. If there's one today who's walking walk into the light. Jesus is the source of light and life. That's what we're taught in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, he gave them power to become the children of God. Is there one today? Is there one today? Is there one today? Will you bow your heads? Father God, I'm grateful for your life. You've called your body of believers out of darkness into the marvelous light. Because of the revelation of your word, we have now new knowledge of the light you've given us. We can't make it shine, so we're going to let it shine, because it's not our light. You're the giver and the source of the light. And in your light is life. Help us to let our light shine, that we might give life to a dying world. Thank you, God.
Thank you.
For the many ways in which you continue to show your love. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us henceforth, now.